Okay.
Hey guys, good morning.
11:30 or 11 o'clock, so it's a little bit too late.
Good morning. Let's try it again. Good morning. All right, we're getting there. Look at this. I don't even have to be near the mic to hear me. It's crazy.
Good morning.
Have I acknowledged anyone? No. Microphone off. Okay, guys, we're going to get going. So, guys, we're going to do a 6:45 a.m. call. we need to just move a little bit faster. I know we're still getting over jet lag, some of us, and leisurely into the week. But we really do, from this point on, have a very packed schedule. Wow, that was cool. We really do have a very packed schedule. So this was our last kind of leisurely morning. So 6:45, we'll need to make a call to get down here for breakfast and get started.
So it's like a disco.
It is like a disco. Sorry, I needed to turn off mine. Is there anything we can do about the lights, guys? It's kind of cool and spooky, but at the same time, for those not physically in the room, we've got the spirit of someone. So the first thing I'm going to say is that I want laptops down, tablets down, those count. Oh, let's just go through the whole list. iPads, iPods, iPhones, Blackberries, if you still have one, Galaxies, Samsung. I know the tendency is to have the electronics at the fingertips, and that's the age we're all in, and I completely get it. But what we do here in the fellowship room is bring our complete focus and attention to the chairs of the SOs and ACs and the constituencies who come in here to talk with us, because what you're getting from them is coming from their experience and what they're sharing with you. It won't come from inside the computer. I have often folks say, well, you know, this is how I take notes. I completely get it. The old-fashioned pen and paper will do just fine if you need that. I think it's in front of everyone. But remember, we're recorded, transcribed, and translated. So if there's anything that you have forgotten or that you didn't quite catch, it will all be on the website forevermore, living in infinity, as will PowerPoints and such that we'll be sharing. So I'll make sure that I get Olivier's show here to everybody as well. So without further ado, Olivier, I am going to turn the show over to you.
Okay, that works. Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. I'm French. I'm chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee. And, oh, there's the presentation. So I'll go on this side. I've got a handy pointer to be able to take us through the presentation. I'm going to speak to you today about the At-Large community and what the At-Large Advisory Committee does. At-Large is the community of internet users that brings their input into the ICANN processes. And the At-Large Advisory Committee is the 15-member committee that makes up the committee that channels all of the input from internet users around the world. Let's go to the first slide, please. So let's have a look at this diagram. I'm not sure whether you've seen this already, whether others have already shown this to you. The advantage of being here on a Monday morning is that we're probably one of the first people to show you this diagram, and then you'll have the whole week. It will be repeated in one form or another. That's the ICANN multi-stakeholder model that you see with all of the different supporting organizations, advisory committees, etc. What you have is a board of directors and all of the different parts of ICANN have people that sit on the board of directors. So you've got the address supporting organization, the generic name supporting organization, the country code name supporting organization, and then the at-large advisory committee, which represents the at-large community. One of the things, the first things that we do, because in ICANN, a lot of people think, well, the board is, the whole of ICANN is a bit too board-centric. So the first thing we do is to get rid of the board. So let's go for the next slide, please. Now, that's much easier now. So the board is away, and effectively, ICANN is all about its supporting organizations and advisory committees. That's where all of the input comes into the board, and the board really has to take the input and then ratify it one way or other, or perhaps ask for more information from the community. What's interesting is that most of the supporting organizations of ICANN, including at-large, are multi-stakeholder models, have multi-stakeholder models. So when you look at the address supporting organization that deals with the IP addressing, they have a model which is composed of regional internet registries. You'll probably get more about this later when you have the visit from people from the ASO. But they are one multi-stakeholder model. I'm sorry, the tea is as strong as the coffee at the moment, and apologies to the interpreters in advance. I'm not sure whether any of them were in the ALAC room yesterday, but they came out completely on their knees. So sorry for that. So the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, is made up of registries, registrars, and IP, intellectual property interests, internet service providers, etc. And here, that's another multi-stakeholder model within the overall ICANN multi-stakeholder model. Country code operators, it's a bit different. Some country code operators work in a multi-stakeholder way. Some don't, because they might be a government, some are a private corporation. But in a way, having private corporation, government, and also multi-stakeholder models within their ranks, there are also a form of multi-stakeholder model. And then, of course, at large is entirely multi-stakeholder. We have organizations within our ranks that are commercial. We have some that are non-commercial. The important commonality between the at large structures is that they all need to deal directly with internet end users. And then on the side, you've got other advisory committees, including the Internet Engineering Task Force. Some of you might know that's where all the technical stuff gets discussed, all the standards and so on get prepared. They're multi-stakeholder in some way. And then you've got the other advisory committees, which might or might not be multi-stakeholder in nature. The governments are on this side. They're not multi-stakeholder, but they form an integral part of the ICANN multi-stakeholder model in itself. Let's go to the next slide, please. Let's focus on at-large. And here is a sort of organizational map of at-large. We are divided in five regions. Why? Because in order to be able to obtain input from internet users around the world, you need to have some form of way to be able to reach out for those people in regions that are not particularly well represented in other fora. You'll find out that, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, but culturally speaking, in some parts of the world, you can speak before you think. And everybody will laugh and will think no more about it. In some other parts of the world, you think before you speak. And therefore, when you have everyone in the same room, you'll have the ones who speak before they think speak all the time, and the ones who think before they speak not speak much, which is unfortunate, since they're usually the ones who actually think about things, so you know, you get better input from them. So we've divided into five regions, with Africa, Asia Pacific, Europe, Latin America, and North America. They're all color coded across the world, and each one of these regions has, at the top of it, has an organizing committee, which effectively organizes the region into a regional at-large organization, a RALO. Here we go. We're starting in the alphabet soup, that one would call it. So this is a RALO, Regional At-Large Organization. Now, In each one of these regions, we have at-large structures, which, as I mentioned earlier, can be local computer clubs. We've got a lot of ISOC chapters, Internet Society chapters that are ALSs. We have organizations which could be a university or academic in nature. And we have some organizations that dispense computer courses or computer literacy courses to their local communities or actually bring computing services or internet services to deprived communities, remote parts of the world, etc. It's a very, very wide-ranging set of structures, basically. That's why we call them structures. They're just a very mixed a bunch of organizations. So they have, each one has got their regional at-large organization, and each one of the regional at-large organizations is able to select two people to go on the at-large advisory committee. So that's the committee over on the right. So there's two people selected by the region, and there's one person from each region that is selected by the nominating committee. You'll hear about them. They usually come last, don't they? Yeah, the nominating committee is a sort of semi-separate organization in ICANN, or should I say independent part of ICANN, that selects people directly from outside. They get CVs and applications from people who are interested in taking part in the processes and in basically going on to leadership positions at ICANN, on the board, on the at-large advisory committee, in the country code name supporting organization, in the generic name supporting organization. And so the NOMCOM actually selects, on a rotational basis, selects five people to go into the at-large advisory committee. So that's one per region. That's very good for us because it actually introduces new faces, people that are not within the at-large structure system, people that might not be even within the at-large community in one way or other, and that sort of comes in to introduce more diversity to our at-large advisory committee. The 15-member at-large advisory committee appoints someone over to the ICANN board. It's actually more than 15 members. We've got elections going on at the moment. So it's the 15 members of the at-large advisory committee plus the regional leader from each one of the regions. So each one of those regions, so Africa for AFRALO, I forgot to say that. The RALOs, we like acronyms. So the RALOs are then mixed with the region so as to make a name. So for the African region, it would be AFRALO. For the Asia Pacific and Pacific Islands, it's AP RALO. For Europe, it's EURALO, etc., etc. So each one of these regions has a chair, leadership team and a chair, and so the chair of each one of the regions plus the 15-member ALAC are able to then select a board member that will sit in seat number 15 on the board. It was, I was going to say, a recent development, but it's 3 years that we've had someone, 3 years already, God, it goes fast, 3 years already. At the moment, it's Sébastien Bachelet. You might have seen him already or heard from him or, sorry? Wednesday. Oh, he's coming down Wednesday. Excellent. Okay, so you'll see him on Wednesday. And so he is effectively selected by our community. He cannot represent the at-large community because board members, once they're selected on the board, have to act in the best interests of ICANN as an overall organization. They're not there to channel the input of their community. But of course, because he was selected by our community, he obviously reflects the same sort of views as we have. Because he has originated within our community. Let's go to the next slide, please. So what is at large? As I mentioned earlier, it's a community of individual internet users. We've actually got now 160, just over 160 at-large structures. We had a real rise in the number of applications from at-large structures in the past few months. And it's a group, as I said, computer clubs, associations, etc. What do we do? Because now I've told you who we are, but what do we actually do? Well, the thing about at-large is we are able to comment on pretty much everything and anything that happens at ICANN. In other words, it's a little bit like your nosy neighbor. You know, you're painting your house. You've worked a lot to paint your house and prepare it and so on. And then your neighbor comes over and goes, you know, I don't like the color of this. I mean, I know you've painted the whole house, but it shouldn't be in this color. It should be that color. It would look a lot better. And basically what we do is to provide advice to pretty much anyone in ICANN, but mostly the board. And we then basically comment on the processes so as to bring in the input of individual internet users into the overall policy processes that ICANN has. You've probably not heard of the PDP yet? Tomorrow morning, okay, policy development process, PDP. That's the way policy gets made in the generic name supporting organization, but also in the country code name supporting organization. And we comment on the policy development processes when there are in two ways. First, during public comment periods. Have you covered the public comments yet, or no? Okay, so let's start from scratch. So the public comment period is when there's policy taking place. The community gets asked questions whether they agree with the policy development that is taking place. Usually after a report is drafted by a working group, that gets put out for public comment. There's a 21-day initial public comment. I'm going to fall if I continue like this. Let's move forward. There's a 21-day initial public comment period, and then there is a reply period for another 21 days, so that's 42 days in total, reply periods for people to be able to look at the comments which were submitted so far and reply to them. And this is all public, so it goes into a public forum that's online-based. And everybody is able to see it. Everything is transparent. And at large, looks at any current policy, well, what we call PCs, so public consultations, and we comment on this. How do we do this? I'll go in this into a moment. But of course, we have to reach a consensus view so as to be able to bring our input into the public comment. So we do that. That's one of our main work. This is all the policy work. Or most of the policy work that we do. But one of the things, though, is that we're able to, as I said earlier, we're able to comment on pretty much everything and anything that happens at ICANN or that is related to ICANN in a way. And we can do that at any time. So we're not restricted only to commenting during the public comment period. We could comment before. We could comment afterwards. If we don't have enough time to come up with a consensus in our community, it would take a few more days or maybe a few more weeks and then comment on it afterwards. What we're also able to do is to issue comments on external processes. For example, when the previous renewal of the IANA contract, so that's the contract that links links ICANN somehow to the U.S. government, when this renewal was due, the at-large advisory committee commented on the questions which were asked by the U.S. Department of Commerce. We wrote directly into the process. We take part in cross-community working groups. In fact, not only cross-community working groups, we take part in any working group where we are invited to take part. So have you covered cross-community working groups? If we have the time, let's cover these as well. I hope you're okay with it, yeah? Okay, so cross-community working groups is basically when there is a subject, a topic that might affect the whole community. It's a little bit of a gray area at the moment because there is no actually defined ways to create a cross-community working group. The way it usually happens is when at least two communities, two different parts of ICANN, maybe the generic name supporting organization and the ALAC, for example, would think, here is a topic that's going to affect both of our communities. Let's work together to try and define a charter to create a common working group between us, and then we'll be able to work together in this. Because one of the problems in ICANN, and you might have seen that just from the first diagram I showed you, is that you've got all of these different supporting organizations and the advisory committees that are all working in silos. So we're like, you know, working in our own room, and next door they're working about this, maybe about the same thing and reaching different conclusions. So there are times when it's better to maybe engage more early and start exchanging views and put together a common group. There are not that many cross-community working groups that have been created. Some of them have been successful, some of them have been terribly bad, mostly because sometimes the view, the aim of the group, the sort of results that everyone wants is slightly different, so it's difficult to reach consensus when you want to reach different results. But the cross-community working groups are one of the ways in which the ICANN community can interact with each other and reach a common goal early on, rather than waiting until it reaches the board. The interesting thing about the recent evolution is that the generic name supporting organization, the GNSO, also has its own working groups. In fact, all the policy development taking place in the GNSO takes place in working groups. And they have very often invited people from other parts of the ICANN community to take part in the GNSO policy development process. So At Large has also sent some of its representatives, and I'm saying at large, not the ALAC, because the ALAC, remember, is the 15-member committee, but it sent members of At Large over to the GNSO working groups, and also then been able to bring some input into these early on. Ready for the next part, interpreters? Yeah? Okay, let's go. I see the steam at the back. Okay, so the next thing, of course, that we do, and this is what I meant, we relay the ICANN message also, because it's a two-way process, we relay the ICANN message to our communities. If you go out in your country, and in fact in my country as well, or my countries, because I live in the UK and in France, and if I go out in the street and say, so have you heard about ICANN? I think the majority of people would say, nope, I have no idea. And yet ICANN is so important because it coordinates the internet's identifiers. If ICANN wasn't there, the internet would probably not work. Would probably not work as well as it does today. So, effectively, we relay the ICANN message, and we basically go out there and try and reach out to communities and say, well, you have to get involved in the ICANN policy processes because that is ultimately going to affect you. So that's a really important message, and it's something which our at-large structures do locally, which is great because we then have a real sort of local presence worldwide, 160 at-large structures. It's pretty wide footprint across the world. Then we also, one of the recent things that we did that we were tasked with was to file objections in the new generic top-level domain applications, the new round of new GTLDs that is being created. And that's the first time that At Large was given an operational task. So we basically put together our own process to look at all of the applications that are out there, and we had a means to file objections. Ultimately, what we did, and I can tell you now because the whole process has pretty much concluded, we filed objections against Dot Health. There were five applicants. We filed objections against four, I believe, for reasons which are too complex. I mean, if you have the rest of the day, I can explain why, but it's a complex system. Maybe not. It's a complex way, but for reasons that are our own, we filed against four, three responded, and okay, at the end, maybe not because we didn't file things correctly, but perhaps because the applicants found a discrepancy in the way that we were putting our voice forward. When we filed against Dot Health, there was a medical side to it, because effectively Dot Health is one of these sensitive strings. I might be going a bit too deep into this Dot Health thing. But we can go. We can finish that. But anyway, we didn't manage to succeed. But at least we have the ability in the next round to continue filing objections when it is required, and primarily based on public interest and on matters of public interest, and also community applications. That's pretty much what we do. Let's go into the next slide. That's how we're structured. I mentioned this to you earlier. So you've got the at-large structures at the bottom, and then you've got each one of the regional at-large organizations, and they feed over to the ALAC. And then you've got this word on the right, the bottom-up. Now, it's not bottoms-up, because bottoms-up in the UK and in some other countries means a big glass of whatever beverage you have, and you finish it in one go. We don't engage in this. We engage in bottom-up policy development. And bottom-up processes where really the people in charge are the at-large structures. They're the people who tell us what to do. They work together to produce a consensus on a regional level, and then this comes over to the ALAC. And any one of these at-large structures is able to raise an issue, and that can permeate all the way up to the ALAC and be discussed in the ALAC, and then, of course, be pushed forward and move forward in the process. Next slide, please. How does it work? So let's say the ALAC wishes to, an at-large structure wishes to comment. It discusses the comment with the regional at-large organizations. And I realize that at the back you might have a problem with seeing the seeing this, but okay, I'll do it quickly, I guess, because it's a bit difficult here. If there is consensus at the regional level, at the regional at-large organization level, then the regional at-large organization checks with the other regional at-large organizations, the other parts of the world. If there is consensus there, if there's consensus at cross-RELO level, then the regional at-large organizations engage the at-large advisory committee itself. Next slide, please. And of course, again, we then discuss this within the 15 members of the ALAC. And if we again have consensus, if we agree that this is an issue, the first thing that takes place is, well, let's produce a statement. How do you produce a statement? You find a pen holder, somebody who's going to be shepherding the process and say, right, I will hold the pen. Sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's two, three, a group of people that decide they're going to draft a first draft of the statement. When the first draft is ready, we put it on a wiki page on the web, and we ask for comments from our whole community. And so we receive sometimes a lot of comments, sometimes not many comments, but all of the comments get taken into account and get added to the statement so that the next version of the statement is amended. And so we have a more finalized statement. Sometimes it takes two or three iterations when there are some very contentious issues. But in most cases, we just need one round of comments, amend the statement. And then that statement is not released, is not sent until it is ratified by a vote by the 15-member at-large advisory committee. So we do an online vote using BigPulse. And sorry for the commercial plug, but that's the tool that we use. And so each one of the members of the at-large advisory committee receives this note in their mailbox with a link to the statement. It says, do you agree that this statement needs to be sent to the public comment process or sent to the board or sent to whoever we want to send it to? If it passes, it gets sent with an advisory note, of course, that explains how the process took place to reach that statement. If it doesn't pass, then it's in the bin. It doesn't go. All of that work for nothing. Next slide. This is the bottom-up process, which is also, again, a bit sort of crunched, but with the same system where you have a pen holder. So we look at the public comment request. We ask for a pen holder. The pen holder produces a first draft. If the draft is successful, well, it gets amended. If it's successful, then it gets voted. Same sort of thing, always with consensus, and then with the ratification vote at the end. If it's not ratified, then do not issue the statement. The only problem with the public comment process, as I mentioned earlier, is that it's how many days? How many initial days? 21. 21 initial days to comment. So you have to go from ICANN releasing a request for public comment to the ALAC releasing a statement in 21 days. And you have to ask people worldwide in those 21 days and go through the process of having a first draft and then reviewing it and producing a second draft and sometimes a third draft, which means that I need to run all over the place, and you'll see me run throughout the week, and you'll see a lot of at-large people run everywhere because it's not very much time to be able to collect the input from people around the world. Bearing in mind the language Englishes, the language issue that we have. You know, not everybody is proficient in English. We do work with Spanish and French as well. All of our calls have interpretation, and some of our mailing lists have automatic translation engines that will translate from one language to another. But as you know, anything that's automatic and machine-based isn't very accurate, so it does introduce some problems, and for non-native English speakers, 21 days is not very much. Unfortunately, we can't make this any longer because that's a commonly accepted thing in ICANN. And the mic is coming closer to Janice's mouth, which means I'm going to be kicked out soon. Let's go to the next page. That's my last slide, thankfully. Some important links. If you're interested by at large, a few of our activities are on this page. The correspondence is the page that contains all of the statements that the at large advisory committee has ever released. There's a lot of them. Last year, I think we released 50 something, more than one a week, which was quite a lot. The policy development page is where we actually create our statements. This is where you can access any of the wiki pages, so the web pages where we build our statements. And it's interesting sometimes to just look through it and see statements at various stages of drafting. And then the working groups, because we do so many things, because ICANN does so many things, we have effectively divided our community into being able to join working groups. And some people have just joined one working group, and that's actually something which you might be interested to do, because they're not just restricted to at-large members who are representative of their at-large structure. Working groups are open for everyone to take part in. And in fact, we've had people from the rest of the ICANN community be directly in the working groups. And so they're all listed on that webpage. If we go to the next slide, please. And that's the next slide. Thank you very much. Oh, if you click the button again, there should be a little thing on the top. Yeah, it works. Okay, thanks very much. And I'm open to answer any questions.
Well, thank you. And Olivier, in deference to Alyssa, who also has to speak and then go to the welcome ceremony, I know there probably are questions for Olivier, so we will take any questions and I'll get them to you via email. And I will hand those out, I promise.
And I asked for more because I saw there were a lot of people here, so I think there should be enough for everyone. There's some here. There's also the participating in ICANN guides, which are very colorful and hopefully have some useful information inside them. So thanks very much.
Thank you. And Olivier, we have several members of at-large in our alumni, and they'll take good care to make sure everybody here gets more information.
Okay, thank you.
I promise.
And I'm sorry I have to go because I've got another meeting just across, but you can talk to me anytime during the week. Just pull me and
if
I'm running, then run with me. It's healthy to run, so thanks.
Thank you. Lisa, would you like to speak here or have a roving? Which would you like? We'll take the roving mic. And I'll put up a multi-stakeholder model, if you like.
So, hello. My name is Lisa Cooper. I am the chair of the business constituency here at Mark Monitor. And the business constituency is one of the groups within the generic name supporting organization, which is comprised of two houses. We've got our contracted parties, which are the registrars and registries, and then you have the non-contracted parties. And that house is the house that the business constituency is in. That house is actually further divided into two pieces. There are the commercial stakeholders group, which is where the business constituency is, and then the non-commercial stakeholders group. Within the commercial stakeholders group, I'm joined by two other constituencies. There is the intellectual property constituency and the ISPs. And so you can see us, if you see that green box, you've got the registries and the registrars. Again, those are contracted parties. And the reason that they're called the contracted parties is those are the two groups that actually have a contract, a direct contractual relationship with ICANN. The Yeah, thank you for the pointing. Below that, you've got the IP interest. That's the intellectual property constituency. You've got the ISPs. Those are the internet service providers. And then you can see down there, there are the businesses. But then further divided is the non-commercial stakeholders group, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from them later. So at any rate, that was a lot of words. Let me tell you what the business constituency actually does. Okay. The business constituency is a group within, again, the GNSO. That's the policy-making group at ICANN. And the business constituency is primarily concerned with developing policy that does three different things. We want to develop policy that promotes end-user confidence in the internet, because the internet is a safe place to conduct business. We develop policy that ensures there is a competitive supply of registries and registrars. And then very importantly, we want to develop policy that ensures the security, stability, and reliability of the internet. So we're all about developing policy that is basically making the internet a safe place to do business. So if you are representative of a business, maybe even a business where you're the only person part of that business, or you're part of a business that perhaps employs, you know, hundreds or thousands of people, every business has a place at the table within the business constituency. We've got members of all types. So we've got micro enterprises that might be just an enterprise where there's one or two people, but the internet is very important to them. We've got businesses who are well over 100,000 employees. The business constituency is really a place for any business that has a concern, conducts, transacts, disseminates information over the internet. And so we work together as a group within the business constituency. In terms of meeting, we meet about twice a month. And then, of course, when we come to the ICANN meetings, we have a full day of meetings on Tuesday, which is the constituency day. But every 2 weeks, what we're doing is we are looking to see what kind of policy is being developed and what kind of reports are being published. So as you just heard, there is constantly a flow of comments and reports that are being put out on the ICANN website. So we're constantly monitoring to see what is being published, what is being discussed, what policy is in development, what working groups are currently working on different pieces of policy. And whenever something is posted to the ICANN website and whenever we learn about some new development, we review it to see, is this something that the business constituency needs to comment on? And so we work as a group. That's one of the great things about being part of a constituency is you get to take advantage of working with many different people. Some people in our group are very new to the business constituency, and so they're in more of a learning mode and they're asking a lot of questions. Others have been in for a very long time. But we spread the work around, and we spread around the analysis that we do so that we can accomplish much more than we would be able to otherwise. Now, you don't have to be part of a constituency to comment on anything that gets posted by ICANN. You as an individual, or you as part of your company, or part of your organization, or part of your university, or whatever, can respond to whatever is published by ICANN and post that publicly. But when you're part of a constituency, you get that benefit of being able to work together, ask questions, do the analysis, and bring together a lot of different ideas, which, for me, there's no way I could respond to everything and even read everything. We have to be selective. And so that's one of the great things about being in any constituency, I think. In terms of how I came to ICANN, so probably about 10 years ago, I started to become interested in ICANN, and I did not immediately jump into, you know, full-fledged engagement or being part of the constituency. I started out by really just looking and watching that website and seeing what kind of policy was being developed and seeing what kinds of things were being talked about. You know, at the time, I'm sure it was probably who is domain ownership information, which has always been a big topic. I'm sure that's what I originally got interested in, and I wanted to know what was going on. And so I was able to go out, read the comments, read the reports, read whatever it was that ICANN was publishing, and I began engaging that way and really just following what was on the website. But then after a number of years, I decided, you know, I really need to become more engaged. I think I'll do better being part of the constituency. And the business constituency for me was the natural place for me to participate. So probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I joined the business constituency and I started to engage. And after a couple of years, I took on a position as an officer. And then I've been the chair of the business constituency over the last 2 years. Now, just because I'm the chair doesn't mean that ICANN is still not a confusing place to me. It can still be very confusing, okay? So I would encourage you, as you're talking to people, as you're in these meetings, to please ask questions. I've been involved for a number of years, and there are still things that I'm learning every meeting. Every time I'm reading a report, I still don't know everything. This is a very complex environment. But please, 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 don't be afraid to ask questions. And if anybody makes you feel stupid or silly or inexperienced for asking those questions, shame on them. Because there is definitely a lot of terminology, there is a lot of acronyms, and a lot of people will throw those around very quickly and not necessarily explain it. And you should absolutely ask, well, what does that stand for? What does that mean? How does this process actually work? Because that's the only, I mean, you can do it how I did it, which was not asking a lot of questions. And then, you know, finally took me like, you know, 6 or 7 years to figure some stuff out. You're better off just asking. And there are lots of people that want to share the information. And sometimes, frankly, you know, I do it too. I try to stop and I try to use, you know, the full words, but even I forget sometimes and I slip into dealing with a lot of acronyms. And I know that's so confusing for people. So please do ask those kinds of questions about, you know, well, what does that mean? What is, you know, what is this particular working group? What is a CCWG? What is a, you know, what is the GNSO? What is the CCNSO? You know, people throw those, I mean, you can have entire sentences with nothing but acronyms in it. And, you know, some people will know exactly what is being talked about, but I guarantee you there's probably 25% of the people that actually have a question. So please do ask. So at any rate, I would encourage you and ask you, if you have an interest, if you're from business, if you have a business interest, to please join me on Tuesday when the business constituency meets. We are meeting after lunch. It's an open meeting. There's also a commercial stakeholder group meeting that is at 9:45. But in that meeting, we're getting ready to go talk to the board. And you're certainly invited to attend that as well. But I think that our business constituency meeting, which will be just the business constituency where we'll be meeting after lunch, I would greatly appreciate your attendance, and we would love to have you. I want to stop here and ask you what questions you have about the business constituency or ICANN or the role that we play or anything at all that I might be able to answer for you.
And now while we get the fear over to raise the hand, one of the things that's terrific when Alyssa has been coming these last couple times since becoming chair, one is to share how she came into ICANN. And I love that our community members come and share that, because it kind of takes away the first wall for most of you. Because you think, okay, I've stepped in, but these folks must have been here forever, and they come from a certain place or a certain sector. But her first approach was to read the website, to just get involved in a way that she could understand the work or begin to understand the work. And I stress to everybody, that's okay. I think I said yesterday, if you want to leave here and start to write blogs, start to talk to your folks at where you're going to university or where you work or your you know, regional or ISOC or whatever you want to do. Write articles. Start getting engaged in public comment. But start to read. And it's okay. That's a way of participating. You're kind of on the outside looking in, but you're learning. And that's a really important step. And then to step into a constituency. And again, when you step in, it's not like, oh, I'm locked in now. I'm in this group. No way to get out of this. Or why would I go to the business constituency? I have nothing to do with business. Well, Gabby Slack is a lawyer from Argentina who's in the business constituency. Why? Because they reached out to her and said, we will teach you. We will guide you. We will mentor you. We will share with you information about ICANN. And took the time. And that's all she needed. And you can become educated in any one of these constituencies. You find the right partner. You know, go to the meetings, and I said it yesterday, you see someone on the mic or hear someone on the microphone, you're like, wow, they seem like they really kind of understand what's going on. Well, during a break, go up and talk to them and say, would you mind if I sit next to you? You seem to really know what's going on here. I can ask you questions. And remember also the Quizlet application download. And now we have cards at the ICANN booth. You can pick up a card for this Quizlet, which is all of our acronyms. You can scan the barcode into your phone, and then wherever you are, you just pick that up when you hear one of these acronyms, and you can decipher the code yourself. But it's really important to know that any one of the constituencies and the members within them can help teach you about ICANN. It's not one for one, depending on where you come from. It's the people you meet there and the interest they take in you and you take in them, and the learning process starts.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Mario Adaman, and I would just like to ask you, just to have a better understanding, can you mention like a few particular projects or achievement in the business constituency that you have done so far? And also, second question, how many days do you need in order to review a process or like a policy development? Thank you.
Yeah, good questions. Okay, so the first part of your question was, you know, what kinds of things have we worked on? So with the new GTLD program, that's been a big focus for the business constituency. So as that whole program was being developed, and it took 4+ years, I guess it was, every time the, you know, what they called the guidebook, which was basically the rules and requirements for running a new GTLD registry, would come out. We would review that. We would do analysis on it. We would submit our comments. We would make recommendations. And we were very focused on improving rights for brand owners. So right, what they call rights protection mechanisms. So we were very focused on making sure that brands and businesses could protect themselves if they were, you know, the target of cyber squatting and that kind of activity. So, you know, we've also been very focused on who is essentially that's domain name ownership information. So like when you look up a domain name and you can find out who the owner is, we've been very focused on how that information should appear, that it should be accessible, that it should be formatted similarly, that, you know, that you should be able to get at it. So those are the kinds of things, like when a report would come out about those topics, that we would submit our comments. Because what's supposed to happen is after a report is published and we submit comments, those comments are viewed all together. And there's analysis done on those comments. And depending on what those comments say, if it's a draft report, there might be another report or a final report that incorporates those suggestions and that actually helps to make a change in the policy that's ultimately being developed. So those are a couple areas where we've been very focused on. Now, in terms of, you kind of also mentioned, like, you know, how much time does it take, like, to respond to a report? So, as it was mentioned, there's basically these response periods. So when something gets posted for public comment, you're supposed to respond to it in the first 21 days. We oftentimes don't respond to it in the initial response period. We'll actually only be able to respond to it after the initial response period into the I forgot what they call the second response period, this response period. And so a lot of times we're not actually able to get our comments in during the initial period. We have to do it in the response, the second part, the second 21 days. But you kind of also bring up another question, like how much time do you have to spend if you're in a constituency? And it's really up to the members. So some members join and they spend most of their time just reading the communication that's being sent around via email. And they're really there to collect information, to understand what's going on. We have other members who are very active and will, you know, be the first to volunteer when there's a comment that we're preparing. We don't have a very formal process for, you know, about, well, who writes the comments. It's basically, you know, whoever has time and the bandwidth will raise their hand to say, yeah, I will take on a first draft, and a draft will go around, and then we'll all take a look at it, or people that are available to look at it will also make changes to it. And then ultimately, once we have consensus, we'll post it. And so in terms of, like, time commitments, it really varies. It can be very little, or you can spend, you know, a quarter of your time working on it.
Okay, thank you. And besides that, besides the review and process, do you also have a part of the, as part of the business, since this is something that is called New Initiative, can you propose something innovative to GNSO?
Yes, exactly. So the way that we participate in the actual GNSO council is we have two counselors that sit on the council. One is actually Gabby Slack, and the other is, his name is John Berard. And so on the policy council, there are two representatives from the business constituency. Similarly, there are two representatives from the others as well. And so if we want to, at the council, we want to propose something innovative, that's where we do it. Excellent question.
Hello. Thank you for the presentation. My name is Benjamin Akimoeje, and I'm a fellow from Nigeria. Well, I would like to ask you two questions. The first one is, when you were in the listening mode, learning mode, how were you able to focus on the area you are interested in? Because if you look at the ICANN website right now, it's quite distracting. I'm sorry to say, you start from somewhere, you end up somewhere else. So out of the time, you're just reading this bunch of emails. I'm beginning to think maybe I should unsubscribe to many of the mailing list I listen to, but they're all interesting in bits and pieces, but it's just so, you're almost interested in everything. But,
yeah.
So my question is, how did you choose where you're interested in and listen a lot to it and then decide to participate, or you listen to many things and then finally chose where you're interested in and participated? So that's the first question. Now, in terms of business, you said whoever has interest in the web and all of that. Coming from a development environment, there's a whole lot of discussion right now that the next billion is going to come onto the web, not by the internet per se like that. They're going to come up via mobile.
Uh-huh, yes.
So the question now is, most of these guys are not participating now, and I mean, they're just developing apps and all of that. How would their input, or what are the mechanisms that business owners, business constituencies are doing to start getting this next resource or this group of interest into this process? Those are my questions.
Yeah. Okay, so let me take your second question first. So we actually do have a number of members from developing countries, and we are actually through some different organizations that belong to the business constituency, such as WITSA. We are actively sort of pursuing and trying to do outreach into developing countries. And certainly we're very interested in making sure we have representation from around the entire world. And so we're very interested, especially in growing, not just, you know, out of North America and Europe, but all around the world. So that is something that is important to us. We need to do that actually for our own credibility And we realize that is, my understanding is, yes, mobile will become important, more important in many areas. Many people will never have a computer per se, but they will have mobile devices in which they'll be able to get internet content, and they'll never actually have an actual computer. I mean, I'm almost at that stage myself. I rarely look at my computer. But at any rate, we realize that's important, and we welcome, we seek, I should even say, members from around the entire world. Remind me again, what's your first question, the first part of your question? Oh, yes. So, yes. Okay, so this is what I used to do, and the website has changed a little bit over the years, but what I would focus on is the public comments section. So there is a link where you can just see what is currently out for public comment. And when I was originally sort of getting involved with ICANN, I believe my interest at that time was around domain name ownership information. I was very interested to understand ICANN's role in ensuring the availability of domain ownership information and how that ownership information might be restricted and how it might be actually formatted and made available and what the requirements were for registrars to make it available. And so that's, you know, that was my area of interest. And I would look specifically in the public comments to see what reports, what working groups, what was, you know, going on with that. So that was my particular area of interest. But I agree, if you just go out there and you look at everything, and even if you sign up for the My ICANN, so I signed up for the My ICANN email list, right? And, you know, I think you check all the boxes that you're interested in. Well, I'm interested in everything, right? And so I get this huge, I get this every day, I get this big email with all this stuff on it. And I agree. I think if you're just engaging, it would, trying to figure out, you know, what is the most important area for you is a good way, a good place to start probably as you kind of get a good, I'll tell you this also, things don't move that quickly at ICANN. So once you have a good sense of what's going on with one particular topic, you can move on to another topic, and you can kind of pay attention to this topic over here. It's not going to change that. It will take 9 months, a year, before something really changes. So start off with one topic, become kind of versed in that, and then you can kind of leave it to the side and check up on it, and you can move on to another one.
Everything moves slow except for Fadi, so we're trying desperately to keep up with them. As it's 8:17, and I know you'll want to go to the welcome ceremony as well as get everyone else, I want to thank you, and I want to tell everyone, if you have any other questions for Alyssa, you'll send them to me. I'll make sure that they get to her, and I know that she'll get to them when she can, if not this week, as soon as she can get home. But thank you so much. As usual, it's really good information for these guys to just understand a little bit more about how to get active and how to get going, and more about the business constituency. I'll just give one question for everyone. Well, let me say two things. Christopher Mondini, the Vice President for North America, as well as for business engagement, I know is working with you and doing an excellent job at outreach and opportunities and really trying to get the word out there. So I know you all are really focusing on what you're talking about with outreach in developing countries. The other question is about individual users. So I know that's always of interest, plus the membership. So for someone like Benjamin from Nigeria, who's an individual, and also from a developing country from a membership standpoint, I guess the advice would be that he can still come into the constituency. It's just a matter of membership, but his voice can still be there.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's really important to know that a lot of people think that since the business constituency has a membership and you have to be part of a company, small or large, you can't belong, and that's not true. And it's just like the CCNSO, they have the same kind of feeling, oh, I can't sit in there. You absolutely can, and your voice will be heard, and you can be very much part of that community.
Definitely.
Okay,
well,
thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
There's just a couple of minutes, and thank you all very much. We are ready to stop record and go to our own little personal place. And I'll just wait for the record. Thanks, guys. So the two